Good evening. It is Tuesday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson here on WILS. Still getting used to daylight savings. Wow, bright and sunny. It's 6:04. Can you imagine that? Tonight we'll talk to the author of the new book, Blitzed, Drugs in the Third Reich. Norman Ohler will be here to tell us just how drugged up the Nazis were. Let's begin, though, with what happened yesterday here. The board, the Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board, hearing from Enbridge officials over Line 5. This is that oil pipe that runs under the Straits of Mackinac. In fact, the officials there were jeered by the crowd several times. Mike Schreiberg with us, regional director for the National Wildlife Federation, a member of the Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board. Mike, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how rowdy was the crowd there yesterday?
Well, it was a pretty raucous crowd. The estimates were there somewhere between 250 and 300 people there, and I would say nearly all of them had a simple message, which is that Line 5 needs to be shut down.
Now, what did Enbridge officials tell you then during the meeting?
Well, the Enbridge was coming because it had been discovered that there are breaks in the coating in this pipeline. That's what protects it from corrosion and what would cause a pipeline to leak. And they basically said, well, there are some parts of the outer layers that may have fallen off, but don't worry, the pipeline itself is safe.
Okay. Do you buy that?
In a word, no. I think what they provided was some partial information, but here's the thing. I mean, that pipeline has been under the Straits of Mackinac we're coming up on 64 years. It was designed for 50 years, and we're seeing some of the coating peeling away.
When you say coating, how thick is the coating?
Well, it's a wrap that goes around it. It's a fiberglass wrap, and then beneath that is a coal tar wrap. I'm not sure the exact amount of thickness, but there's three different layers.
Okay.
Enbridge was saying, we think the outer layer has peeled away in some parts, but don't worry, there's a couple more layers. But we're also not really sure, so when it gets warmer, we'll send some divers down to check it out.
Okay, so they're going to check that out? They're going to check it out this spring, essentially?
Yeah, sometime in the summer, really.
Okay.
And that to me, anyone who cares about the Great Lakes was really not very reassuring.
The pipe itself, though, was made of steel, right, on the inside?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
So that,
20 inches.
In terms of the steel itself, is it likely that part of it is okay?
Well, that was the question, is whether it's actually corroded down to the metal itself. And Enbridge was saying, we don't think so, but we're not sure. And, you know, just remember, this is the same type of corrosion that caused the Kalamazoo River oil spill in 2010, the largest inland oil spill in U.S. history. Very similar pipeline also owned by Enbridge Energy.
Did they tell you what it would mean for the company to shut that line down?
Well, it's unclear. I mean, you have to remember that most of this oil actually takes a shortcut through the Great Lakes. Most of it originates in Canada on the tar sands and actually ends in Canada or goes to export through Montreal. So it really takes a shortcut through the Great Lakes. It's probably a problem for their export business. It's not a problem really for Michigan's energy security, though.
Okay. So what would it take for a leak to occur? What have the experts told you?
Well, it's basically the pipe corrodes away enough that oil can come out. Or another issue that was discussed at this meeting is the currents down there are really strong. They're 10 times the strength of Niagara Falls, for example. And even different than Niagara Falls, they actually can go in multiple directions. Sometimes it's heading towards Lake Huron, sometimes towards Lake Michigan. That has a lot of that stresses a pipe. I mean, think about that.
Okay.
And over time, that can lead to cracks as well.
Within the pipe, how much does the pipe move around in the water? I mean, is it tied down somehow? Or?
It is somewhere. Some places it's actually sitting on the bottom. The bigger concern are the stretches where it's up above the bottom, because the bottom of the straits are not flat by any stretch. In fact, there's an ancient riverbed that lies through the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go as far as 75 feet without being supported. That's actually what it's required. Enbridge has been found multiple times throughout the life of this pipeline of having unsupported stretches farther than 75 feet. In fact, most recently, they were given 90 days notice by the state to fix it or the pipeline would be shut down.
So that
was the fourth or fifth time that's happened.
Unsupported, so it's just floating in the water, you're saying?
Yeah, so they have supports that are supposed to kind of tie it down every 75 feet. But yeah, that's when it's actually above the bottom of the straits.
So can Enbridge recoat the pipe there?
Well, that's actually exactly what was asked by Captain Kolensky from the state police. And they said, well, if it's the outer wrap, I'm not sure if we do that because, you know, I'm not sure it's needed. And he said, from an emergency preparedness standpoint, mm-hmm. I think it's needed. And so I think in theory they can do that. They didn't indicate any willingness to do so yesterday.
Now, if a leak were to begin, how quickly would that be detected?
Well, it's unclear. In Kalamazoo, it took about 20 hours, and it took someone detecting it visually. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, even if it's detected instantly, it takes a few minutes to shut it down. But then you've got 4.5 miles of pipeline that has oil in it in between the two sides of the streets. So you have, even if it's detected instantly, you actually have a large volume of oil that can still escape because it's sitting there in between the two choke points.
So did you ask the Enbridge officials what their plan is if a leak does happen?
Yeah, I mean, that has been something that they've talked about quite a bit. And it's basically to get boats out there and try and corral the oil as much as possible. Mm-hmm. The reality is, in the straits, that's very difficult because you can't do it in high waves, you can't do it effectively in ice, can't do it in high wind, and you can't do it during the nighttime. So if you think about it, the conditions where you actually can effectively corral, and by effectively, that's getting about 30-40% of the oil.
Okay.
They're pretty rare. Anyone that's been up to the straits knows that's not an easy body of water to negotiate. It's not sitting there like a pond most of the time.
Right. It's moving around. So you're saying, your view, the only option really is for them to shut the line down and that's it?
Yeah, I think this line needs to be decommissioned. When you look at the worst possible place for an oil spill in the Great Lakes, it's right there. This is the only line that goes through the open waters of the Great Lakes like this. And it's simply the wrong place for an oil pipeline.
What would it take for them to do that? Who's got the power to shut the line down?
Well, the Attorney General and the governor have the power. They operate that line through the strait specifically based on an easement from the state. So they have that legal contract. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General and the governor have the right to act in the best interests of the state to say, this is not a reasonably prudent use of state resources.
And that's what is their opinion so far on this?
Well, so Attorney General Schuette has said his goal is to shut down Line 5 as quickly as possible. Governor Snyder has been largely silent on the issue. But together, they're actually coordinating an assessment of this. So an assessment of what exactly the risk is, mm-hmm. and what are the alternatives. That is due out in draft form in June, and that's really going to determine the course of what our state decision makers do about this pipeline.
And how much of that assessment is based on the work you're doing on the board right now?
The board has been helping to define the scope of it, so what are we actually looking at here? And probably our main role has been to kind of oversee and help steer this. It's an independent assessment done by contractors hired by the state. Mm-hmm. But our role on the board is to help make sure it's done well.
How many members on the board?
Let's see, I believe there are 16 members on the board.
Does everyone feel the way you do, that the line should be shut down?
Oh, absolutely not. Enbridge is one of the members on the board. Marathon Petroleum is one of the members on the board. Uh-huh. There are many of the state agencies are on the board. And, you know, I'm there representing conservation organizations. Jennifer McKay, my colleague at the tip of the Mitt Watershed Council, is representing environmental organizations. Uh-huh. But there's a pretty big, and Chris Scheffler, who runs Scheffler's Ferries, who has a strong view that it should be shut down, is also there. But I don't know that that's a majority opinion. It's a pretty diverse force.
So as far as Enbridge is concerned, is there any real risk of a leak occurring?
You know, it's hard for me to put myself in their shoes. I mean,
when they speak about it, how do they describe the state of the pipe and what they think the situation is?
Well, their speaker at the meeting yesterday said that the pipeline is in as good a condition as when we put it in there. But, you know, the later went on to say it's missing some parts of the coating. So, my thought was those two things don't square. Mm-hmm. And nothing, you know, I mean, think of it this way. Right? Any piece of infrastructure has a lifespan to it. Would you drive over a bridge that was designed for 50 years? You can't really maintain it very well when it's underwater in this way.
So
for 64 years.
What is the lifespan of a pipe like that in the water? Does anyone really know?
Yeah, there's not a definite end of life. I actually wish that the state had said, well, in 50 years, we do a determination of whether we should still be using this. That's not what the easement says right now. There is no end date. It's really when the state determines the risk is too high for whatever value comes out of it.
Mike Schreiberg, Regional Director for the National Wildlife Federation, a member of the Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board meeting yesterday, and will continue to evaluate the Line 5 under the Straits of Mackinac there. Mike, great to have you on WILS. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.